So we'll start off the message today with just a couple of quotes that are relevant on topic. The first one is by Eleanor Roosevelt. It is better to light one small candle than to curse the darkness. Francis of Assisi, who's a Catholic. That's enough. We just call him a Catholic. All the darkness of the world cannot extinguish the light of a single candle. Martin Luther King Jr. Made the statement, darkness cannot drive out darkness, only light can do that. Likewise, hate cannot drive out hate, only love can do that. And then the last is probably by the greatest of them all, Albus Dumbledore. Maybe not. Happiness can be found in the darkest of times if only one remembers to turn on the light. That's a Lord of the Rings character, I think. Is that right? No, it's the other one. It's the other fantasy weirdo thing my wife has made me watch. So the title of today's sermon is Three Things That Prevent Our Light from Shining. The first of the three is continuing in sin. You can turn, if you'd like, to Proverbs 6 and verse 16 through 19. I'm using scriptures today from the New King James Version. Starting in verse 16, these six things the Lord hates, yes, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren. Now these are sins. And in the season of Passover, it's especially critical that we root out those sins and seek to purify our hearts so as to not disrespect the sacrifice of Christ. Another scripture that you could turn to is Matthew 7 and verse 21. This will be through verse 23. Matthew 7 and verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of the Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. So now we're on to the second, and that is not loving others. This is the second way that we do cover our light. You'll all be familiar, and every time I read this verse, I'm singing in the background. John 13 and verse 34 through 35. A new commandment I will give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. The focus of many messages and materials from the church, I've noticed, is on pleasing God, and rightfully so. Unfortunately, so if you were to go to the Life, Hope, and Truth website, I searched pleasing God, and you'll come up with an article, How to Please God, which has a list of seven items, and I read through those items. Of course, there's more explanation, but just the list is, the first is seven, is have faith, then be spiritually minded, fear God, study and follow Jesus Christ's example, obey God, do God's will, and give the sacrifice that God wants. Now, the thing that struck me as I read through that list, of course, there's more explanation further down as the article plays out and explains it. But the thing that I thought interesting, just looking at that list, you can do all of that inside your home without ever talking to anyone or interacting with anyone else, which I think is dangerous. And it's easy for us to do, especially in today's society, especially since COVID. And I mean, me personally, I'm in a situation where I work from home full time. all week, you know. So my routine tomorrow, I'll be working in the yard doing things or procrastinating when I'm supposed to be doing those things around home. All week, work from home, and then come here to church. And it's easy to kind of get set in that routine, not only am I, limited in my interactions with brethren, I'm also not interacting a whole lot with anyone else. So that's something that, like I said, it just seems especially relevant these days. John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. Verse 34 starts out, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." I do believe I copied that when I went to move it. But a story that comes to mind as we're discussing this point was just happened this last week. I don't know if any of you locally go to Sam's Club for gas. We don't typically, but we had to stop. Actually, we usually stock up for unleavened bread at Sam's Club because butter is expensive, and that's pretty much what unleavened bread is. We needed fuel, every time for the last few months that I've been to Sam's Club, the gas station has just been lines out onto the road. They are the cheapest around, but for 10 cents a gallon, I'm not sure it's worth waiting. But I dropped Josie and Olivia off at, and or no, Opie off at Sam's Club to go inside, and then I went to fill up gas with Olivia. And there's a line out onto the road, and the very last car, I just kind of pulled up, ready to nose in behind them. A lady comes zipping off the road and pulls in behind that car, saw me sitting there, and was intent on making sure that she was in front of me in line. And so I had plenty of time while I'm waiting for 8 or 10 cars in front of us to get on the pump. And I tell, I'm thinking to myself, I really feel like I should point out to this woman how idiotic she's being, how inconsiderate she's being. And maybe struggling a little bit to keep myself under wraps. And after all, we are sitting like this bumper next to each other. Roll down my window, have a few choice words, shake my fist. I don't know. I didn't do any of that. And lo and behold, this is beside the point. But with my exotic German cars that I drive, my Volkswagens, the fuel up is on the right, and Sam's Club has you all going through the same way. Turns out, because hers is on the left and mine is on the right, I was filled up and on my way before she even got on a pump. So that was a little bit of a nice development. But the thing about it was, I could have, at the very least, I could have left her thinking that I was very unpleasant by addressing her. Now, I didn't necessarily, she probably didn't go away from that interaction thinking, what a nice man, he let me cut in front of him. She probably didn't think twice about that. But if I'd have gotten out and addressed her, what I thought was an injustice, she probably would have thought I was quite unpleasant. And so maybe, while it may not be a plus one for the team, I avoided it being a negative one. So, furthermore, I do have tinted windows on my car, so I just thought I'd make a side point. It's not just what you're seen doing. So my tinted window just doesn't make it okay for me to cut people off because they don't see who I am. It also doesn't make it okay to curse at them or obscene gestures. So it's something to keep in mind. Someone's watching, even if that person can't see you. Treat others as you would want to be treated. Remember that you can do good without loving, and then love everyone, and let that love compel you to do good. And this actually brought to mind Mr. Gatley's sermon he gave a while back. It left an impression because he used the, it was an article that he had read where, as a means of basically manipulating people, this person encouraged you to try, when you meet someone, silently tell them you love them. Like, not actually saying it, but, and he said it completely changed the nature of the interaction. That's what we're trying to do here, except for real. I mean, you don't have to tell people you love them, but not as a means of manipulating, but just as making sure that you're interacting as someone that actually does love that person. This brings us to the last point, being unwilling or hesitant to sacrifice. Often in the church, we talk about sacrifice in the church in that context, and it's a discussion. Well, I lost my job because of the Sabbath, or had got passed up on a promotion because of keeping the holy days or things like that. But this is a different discussion. We're going to look at it as in giving happily of your time and resources. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 6 through 9. Says, but this I say to you, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He that sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. So give of your time, selflessly seek to improve the lives of those around you, inside and outside of the church. Not for pay, not for attention, not for recognition, but because it is the will of God and it is good. Final scripture is Matthew 25 and verse 31 through 46. We'll probably skip over a little part of it. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, this is Matthew 25, verse 31, starting 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, he will sit on the throne of his glory, and the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to the least of these my brethren, you did it to me. And then we'll kind of breeze over this, basically the inverse. He says, he says to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, dot, dot, dot. It was the inverse. They had not acted towards him as they would towards, if they had known that they were acting towards God. And then in verse 44, they will answer to him saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister? And he answers them saying, assuredly, I say unto you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you also did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. So to conclude, a quote, I believe it actually was stated this way on the Joe Rogan podcast, but it's making its rounds on the social media world we live in. The quote goes, the person that loves to walk will walk further than the person that loves the destination. The point being that roadblocks and obstacles might discourage the person that seeks a destination, but if you love the journey, a detour makes more journey. The Passover and Spring Holy Days are fast approaching. Sorry, I was fighting that one. I thought I might make it through. Are fast approaching. The start of God's commanded ritual to illustrate and teach us his plan of salvation for all mankind. It is another step in the journey towards the destination. That destination being God's kingdom, established on earth, marking the end of suffering. Every hurt will be healed and every tear wiped away. The journey now is the process of pruning and striving towards perfection as children of God and letting our light so shine by abolishing sin from our lives, loving others, and serving others. The 3 points from this message. Not loving the world, but loving the opportunities the world affords us to be perfected like Christ. The kingdom is the destination that we all look forward to. Loving that is easy, but the journey is the challenging part, and that is what we need to learn to love.